Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Pádraig Lodge, thank you very much indeed for that. The government negotiator assigned with the task of securing money from church orders for the Mother and Baby Home Redress Scheme has failed to reach a deal within the deadline set by Minister for Equality, Roderick O'Gorman. The Irish Times is reporting today that Minister O'Gorman hired former trade unionist Sheila Noonan in May 23 with instructions to recommend a best and final offer from Catholic and Church of Ireland bodies within 6 months. In a few moments, I'll speak with Maeve O'Rourke, who's lecturer in human rights in the University of Galway. But first of all, I'm joined by Patsy McGarry of the Irish Times. You're both very welcome. Patsy, I might turn to you first of all, just if you don't mind, before we get to the current setback, just to give us a little bit of a background on this one.
Well, as you know, Cormac, and most people in Ireland do today, redress has been a hot issue or difficult issue to resolve between this state and the various religious congregations involved in running residential institutions for children and in the mother and baby homes context here. When the Ryan Commission was set up, there was before it was set up in 2000, there was a redress scheme announced by the government. And after that scheme was announced, the representatives of the religious congregations involved, and there were 18 of them, approached the government to say they would like to compensate, or to rather offer some compensation to be part of this redress scheme. And this led to the infamous 2002 indemnity deal, under which the 18 congregations paid over 128 million or 100 million punts, as it was at the time, and were guaranteed indemnity for many future actions that may be taken by people who've been in the institutions as children. Now, at the time, and to be fair to the congregations, it was estimated that about 3,000 people would come forward. That was the state's estimation of the figures likely to people who've been in the institutions. In fact, the numbers that came forward were 15,500 plus. The costs were obviously mushroomed enormously, up to about 1.5 billion. And when the Ryan report was published in 2009, the then government under Brian Cowan called in the 18, or representatives of the 18 congregations, and asked them to raise their contribution levels. This was a request. The state had no means to compel them to do so. The scheme had been set up by the state without consultation with them. And in the context of that agreement, they combined congregations, or I should say 16 of them, mm-hmm. agreed to contribute 352.6 million between them. Two of the congregations didn't have any money left. And of that figure, they're still short about 105 million. That's to do with reformatories, industrial schools, orphanages, etc., where children were kept and had been investigated by the Ryan Commission. We come to the Mother and Baby Home Commission now, which has investigated 14 mother and baby homes, four county homes, which would be a matter mainly for the state, that is the county homes. And again, in this context, you have seven Catholic institutions, six religious congregations, and the Legion of Mary, who came out quite well, actually, out of the Mother and Baby Home Commission report in January 2021. And you have one Protestant home, Bethany, where the Church of Ireland says it didn't own it, it didn't manage it. It was one of several Protestant churches which had members of the committee, including members of their own, and it disputes what it may or may not have to pay over in terms of compensation. And the negotiations have been going on with the other six or seven Catholic institutions, including the Legion of Mary, as to what they should or shouldn't compensate to the mm-hmm. estimated 800 million that will be paid out to the many thousands of residents who passed through these homes.
Patsy, before I get to Maeve O'Rourke, the story in the Irish Times today of the deadline of 6 months and the failure to get a best offer from the orders within that deadline, what do you make of that?
Well, I wouldn't indicate that these congregations continue to communicate with the minister's office directly rather than Sheila Noonan, which would indicate they didn't accept the deadline as imposed by him or proposed by him, and that they wanted to deal directly with the department rather than with Sheila Noonan herself. They do play hardball. I mean,
They're not dealing with the assigned negotiator.
It would appear from the reports today by Arthur Beasley that they have bypassed Sheila Noonan in many instances and gone directly to negotiate.
That's intriguing then. That in itself is intriguing, isn't it? Because I've just been handed, and I might get you to comment on this, Maeve O'Rourke, who's lecturing human rights in the University of Galway, and you're part of the Clon project that represented 82 people seeking redress. That is intriguing in itself, Maeve, isn't it? Because I've just been handed a statement from the Minister for Equality and Children, Roderick O'Gorman, And he says, let me read it to you. Government believes that all relevant parties have a collective responsibility to respond to Ireland's legacy in relation to the mother and baby institutions. Discussions in regard to seeking a contribution from the religious congregations toward the mother and baby institutions payment scheme are ongoing, he says, says the department. These discussions are being led on Minister O'Gorman's behalf by an independent negotiator, Ms. Sheila Noonan. The minister and his department are committed to the process of assisting Ms. Noonan in her work. As provided for in her letter of engagement, the minister has agreed that as the process is still ongoing, Ms. Noonan will continue her work to its conclusion, and the minister will be making a full report to government when the process is concluded. Now, my question to you, Maeve, is if the orders aren't dealing with Ms. Noonan, if they're bypassing her, going straight to the department, and the minister is telling us this evening that he's assisting Ms. Noonan, what can we make of the process?
I just don't really understand why the minister would expect any process like this to yield results when he isn't wielding a single stick at the religious orders. So the government has never brought forward legislation to change the statute of limitations to allow people get to court where it's in the interests of justice. They haven't done what the Law Reform Commission has recommended in relation to the statute of limitations since 2011, nor have they done what the Law Reform Commission recommended in 2005, which is to make the religious orders have legal personality so that they can be sued in court. There is absolutely no legal pressure on the religious orders to negotiate when they have, do not stand to lose any money by failing to negotiate, because they clearly don't think that there's any risk or a substantial risk of having to pay out more in court than they would through contributing to this scheme.
So just explain that to people. You said the religious orders can't be sued in court, let's say by the state or the department or whoever the case may be. Why not?
The religious orders tend to be unincorporated associations, and in a 2017 decision of the Supreme Court in a case called Hickey and McGowan, where a person abused between 1969 and 1972 brought a case, tried to sue the Marist Order of Religious Brothers, the Supreme Court said that no, they don't have separate legal personality, so you actually need to sue and find every single individual priest who was around at that time and sue them individually. And of course, where are their assets? The order's assets may be in charitable trust. There's literally no clear way to actually sue the religious orders in court. This is well known. The Law Reform Commission has brought it up before, and the government has taken no action, nor has it taken action to amend the very strict statute of limitations in Ireland, which really makes it almost impossible to bring historical cases, even where it would be in the interests of justice.
Do you think, can I ask you this? So you're saying that the minister and the department isn't wielding any stick here in terms of forcing the religious orders to add to the redress scheme pot. Do you think that the process by which he's assigned Sheila Noonan could be fruitless in? Is there any chance that it could be?
I absolutely do. No, I absolutely expect it to be fruitless. I mean, the religious orders didn't contribute to the Magdalen scheme. And when we look at the letters between the nuns and Minister Alan Shatter at the time, for example, a letter from Sister Sheila Murphy, regional leader of the Sisters of Our Lady of Charity in 2013, it said, "I note you're disappointed with our decision not to contribute and that you believe we have a moral obligation to make a reasonable contribution." And they say the decision not to contribute was arrived at after consideration of the findings of the McAleese report. And we have a very similar situation here with the Mother and Baby Homes Commission report, which found, and of course the High Court has issued 8 declarations saying that survivors were denied their fair procedures, when it came to the findings of the commission that there's no evidence that women were forced to give their children up, that there's no evidence that women were incarcerated in the strict meaning of the word, that there's no evidence of injury to children as a result of vaccine trials. So there's not even any moral pressure on the religious as a result of how that Mother and Baby Homes Commission proceeded, let alone now legal pressure, where they might fear court action and therefore decide to contribute in a less adversarial way.
In March, though, Leo Varadkar, in his, I think it was his final leader's questions, as Taoiseach, said that the scheme, the initiative, with an expected cost of €800 million. Is the largest of its type, he said. He defended the compensation scheme. He insisted that redress came in many different forms, you'll remember. And financial compensation was only one element of that, he said.
Well, financial compensation is a very important part of reparation as a whole. And we know from the past, in 2000, the government amended the statute of limitations for 1 year to allow people to bring historic child sexual abuse cases. And it changed the definition of disability in law so that you could attempt to demonstrate that historical child sexual abuse was continuing to harm you so that you could still go to court up to this day. And it was 2 years later that the 18 religious orders signed up to contribute to the redress board, as Patsy has already outlined. Same in Canada. It was only massive class action lawsuits by survivors of the Indian residential schools that led to an agreement between the church there and the state to establish an investigation and redress. It's as clear as day that the government needs to enable access to court in order to force the religious to come to the table.
Well, really, we'd love some clarity on the process here as well, and the hopes that the department have, or the senior negotiator has appointed, Sheila Noonan, as to the process bearing fruit and the negotiation bearing fruit. We did try to contact Sheila Noonan. We couldn't get in contact with her today. But certainly we'd love to talk with the Minister, Roderick O'Gorman, or Sheila Noonan, because if the orders are actually bypassing the assigned negotiator and directly going to the department, but the department is telling us by statement this afternoon that they're continuing with the process by which the negotiations go through the appointed negotiator, Sheila Noonan, there is at the very least a question mark. Anyway, we'll certainly keep an eye on it and we'll come back to it. Maeve O'Rourke, lecturer in human rights at the University of Galway, thank you. And Patsy McGarry, former religious affairs correspondent of the Irish Times, thank you as well.